respected Longpa Anand. Two of my Dhamma friends are going through very challenging times. One has to care for a close friend who is very sick mentally and is causing my friend no end of problems as she tries to care for him. The other was hit by a car some 6 months ago and is still suffering pain and unable to work after sustaining considerable injuries. Apart from sharing merits and sending metta, what can one do? Is it possible that as the conflicts are increasing in the world, that individuals are also impacted with greater suffering?
So I give my anamodana rejoicing with you that you have this intention to share merits with your two friends, to share loving kindness. So I give my sympathy to your two friends as well. And to care for the friend with the mental illness, you need a lot of loving kindness to do that. You also have to be careful of your own mind, that your own mind doesn't become sick as well if you are around that person with the mental health issue. And so one needs to train the mind in peace and collectedness and samadhi, and to also have some time alone as well to bring the mind to coolness. If one receives these moods, then from the mind that's unwell, and one's own mind can become unwell in addition. So one needs to give strength and energy to the body and mind, and to give energy to the mind, to give strength to the mind is to bring the mind to stillness, for example. For the friend who had the car accident, this is difficult as well, likely a karma. So all beings have their own karma. Being with the mental health issue could also be karma as well. So whatever the case, whatever kind of karma it is, one cares for it, one has loving kindness, and one can give the gift of Dhamma as well. So one gives loving kindness, gives merit, and to that friend one can give Dhamma so that they have a refuge in order to alleviate their suffering in their heart.
Dear Longpa, can you explain the difference between the mind and the brain? They seem to be one and the same, and so closely related, it gets confusing. Sadhu.
So we speak about the body, the nervous system, all the different aspects of the nervous system. And the brain is a part of that. And the nervous system is what allows various processes to work or to happen, and they all are centered or gathered together in the brain. But the citta, the mind, and the brain are two different things. The citta, the mind, gives the order to the brain receives that order, and then the brain gives the order to the various organs, different parts of the body. For instance, with speech, the citta, the mind, gives the order to the brain, then the brain gives the order to the part of the nervous system that's related to speech. If the nervous system has a problem, for instance, if the mouth isn't working, the brain gives the order, but the speech doesn't happen because the mouth isn't working. So we see that the brain has this aspect of control. But if there's a problem with any aspect of the nervous system there, then the process won't be completed. Another example is the citta gives an order. like to lift an arm or a leg. But if there's a problem in the brain itself, then the jitta gives the order, but the arm or leg doesn't get lifted because the brain has an issue. But there's still this jitta there, this knowing element, but the brain has some deficiency or part of it that's not working. So in these examples, we can see clearly the difference there. And if the brain is in good working order, functional, but then jitta, the mind's not giving any orders, like if the mind is still quiet, empty, and the body's just sitting there, it's not walking or standing or speaking, we see that they're separate. So in the Buddha's dispensation, we see that the body and brain, they arise together, composed of natural elements that are of the nature to degrade, pass away, and at death they dissipate and are gone. But the jitta, the mind, stores up all the merit and demerit, all the goodness and bad that one has done, and then that mind gets born again.
Dear Longpa, when my father abuses my mother, I would usually tell him calmly to stop, but it would usually end up with me raising my voice as I felt anger seeing what he's doing. I try to feel neutral towards him, and I remind myself that my father has contributed to me growing up healthily, but I often feel anger as well when I see my mother feeling sad and hurt. Oftentimes, I would think of leaving the house, but is this considered as avoiding the problem? I would like to seek Longpa's advice on this. Thank you, Longpa, and wishing you good health.
So you see that this is the loving kindness for your mother, seeing your father hurt her, so you have this loving kindness. So that's correct, that you make effort to arouse mindfulness in your father, to wake him up or help him have more mindfulness so that he doesn't hurt your mother like that. Sometimes we might raise our voice, but never mind about that, because that's part of our effort to give the father more mindfulness, in order that the ignorance, craving, and attachment, and anger in the father become lessened, to give rise to more mindfulness. And if raising the voice doesn't yield fruit, then one can yell or cry out in order to soften his mind. So one seeks out a skillful means or a way that does get results so that the father doesn't hurt the mother. And one seeks out a way using mindfulness and wisdom to find a kind of soft point or a weak point in the father that one can use to help him not be angry, to help him not to do that. You can also investigate to look for the cause of why does the father hurt the mother. And then having found the cause, one can address it to fix it so that it doesn't arise. So these are two different methods. But in whatever case, we have these two methods, but having this anger arise towards your father is normal. So you have you have this anger arise, but you don't have ill will, or you don't hurt your father because it's still your father. And the mother and father fight. And we see that having this kind of anger, conflict, sometimes to the point of hitting or fighting, or criticizing. It's the nature of families. We see that the word in Thai for family, krop kua, so krop is like a cage or a box, a constrained space, and kua refers to a kitchen. So we see that it's a constrained space or like a cage that has knives and sharp instruments and hot fires and animal flesh and so on. And so that's what family is. And so being in the middle of that, so we feel we have either love or hate, and our mind sometimes feels anger. But don't cling to that. And we see that the mother can feel sad or disheartened, and so you have sympathy for your mother, try to give her a lot of loving kindness, try to have empathy. And if you're not able to handle these moods or this situation in the house, then you can exit the house and give a rest to your mind so that you can come back and deal with the situation again. Not necessarily completely running away from the home, but also I don't know if you have another house to go to or who would take care of you or if you're able to support yourself or if you're able to work. So we don't know that. But whatever the case, however it is, if the mother is alone dealing with this, it could be difficult for her. So you can exit the home to rest your mind and then come back to help again. Also to try to warn your father to arouse mindfulness in him and also to give strength of heart to your mother as well.
Dear Achan, during this retreat, even though I'm unable to join all of it due to school and time differences, I have been doing my best to be mindful all the time, to meditate often, and I have stopped all entertainment, reading, music, etc. In doing so, I have begun to see just how much these things distract the mind. Part of me wishes to keep practicing in this rather strict way, even after the retreat ends, but another part of me worries that I'm pushing too hard too soon. Could you please provide some advice? Thank you.
So we see this is the fight between the magga and the kilesas, the path and the defilements. So the mind that has right view, samadhiti, sees that doing these activities, like looking at entertainment, reading, listening, these other activities, leads the mind to agitation, to being not peaceful. They disturb the mind. And then we try to bring the mind into peace and collectedness and samadhi, and these activities will come to bother the mind, to make it not peaceful. So we see the drawbacks in these activities. And to think to be more strict with oneself, this is a good thought. But the defilements that we've previously cultivated and stored away say that it's too strict, that there's no rush, that we can go slowly. And so this is how it happens. And so we look at our own, or we can look at our own view or opinion. We take, for instance, if there's 100 kilometers away from us or 1,000 kilometers away, there's a mountain that's completely full of the most precious jewels in all the world. There are these jewels that are of extreme value, very high value, and the mountain is made of those jewels or full of them. And would we think to rush to go to that mountain, to our goal? Would we go quickly, or would we go slowly to that mountain? Would we think not to be strict with ourselves, not to rush, but to sit sometimes, to lie down sometimes, to get lost in pleasure sometimes? So this is one way. And then there's that mountain, and we can, or one might want to rush to go to that mountain, to go quickly before one dies, to reach the mountain before death. So this is seeing the drawbacks in old age, sickness and death. In this way, seeing the drawbacks of old age, sickness and death, one has effort to practice a lot, to train a lot, to be strict. But one also takes a look at the strength of one's own mind. If one goes beyond one's strength, then one starts to feel stressed and tight, and then one needs to relax. So we can do the five precepts in that instance, and doing the five precepts, then one can watch movies or listen to music, for example. And then doing that on the lunar observance days, the one pra, or when one has some days off of work, then one can train oneself more strictly, not to be lost in these activities. And then if the strength of mind is more, then one can do 2 days a week or 3 days a week more strictly. One can increase that a little bit at a time, gradually, without hurrying. And one can keep a watch on the strength of one's own mind. So one sees the drawbacks of agitation and the troubled mind. And in the end, one has more strength and energy to not do these activities more and more.